Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Estate and Coffee. I am Andrew.
I'm Sarah.
I'm really excited about the guest that we have today. Like, I'm going to gush. I apologize for nothing. Sarah's excited too. She will admit, I think. But our guest today is Jim Crum. That's Crum with a K and two M's. Jim and his son Michael is actually going to be joining us too. You'll hear from him more towards the end. He's kind of quiet the first little part. So we're going to be talking about SewerScope. Sarah puts her hand in her face. We're going to be talking about SewerScope inspections because that's a service that we are starting to offer starting in November. So actually starting as soon as this airs. And I want people to understand exactly what a SewerScope inspection is and why it's important. And when I took Jim Crum's class to become certified to do this, I was just blown away by his presentation, the way that he teaches. I've been a fan of his since I was watching his instructional videos a while back on just how to be a home inspector. A lot of stuff I learned from him that I use all the time. But I was really impressed with his presentation on SewerScope because there's so much that I learned about how important it is, that drain line going out of your house. And so we decided that we wanted to offer this as a service as well. So Jim is going to take some time to discuss the importance of this service. And so
Wrap it up, Andrew. Wrap it up.
I'll wrap it up. Here's Jim Crum.
I'm James Douglas Crum, and this is James Michael Crum. He goes by Mike, but we own IM, the SewerScope Certification Program. It's an inspector mentoring and training. We are the only SewerScope training that is endorsed by InterNACHI. And so if you want to become an InterNACHI certified SewerScope inspector, our training is the only training approved.
And so that's what I wanted to talk with you today was the SewerScope inspection. But first, I just I want to thank you for being here because you're those of the audience members that are listening, it's primarily real estate agents and homeowners. And we do have some home inspectors that kind of listen in as well. The home inspectors, I think, are going to know who you guys are. But for the agents and the homeowners that don't know, guys, Jim is an incredible teacher, and a lot of the education that I've received, Jim, has come from you watching your videos. We are InterNACHI members, and so we're the beneficiaries of a lot of your teaching. So I want to point people who aren't home inspectors to you that are in the real estate space, because I think there's a lot that they can learn from you, and it kind of gives I think it gives people a little bit of an idea of how we're taught and how we're trained. And so I appreciate your teaching, and I'm glad that you're here giving up some of your time to do this, to help out our clients and help out the people that follow us. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So SewerScope is it's something that's new to us. It's something that we just added to our services. And after taking your class, I was blown away by the kind of the way you broke it down, and I learned about it so much. I was like, hey, this is something we need to do for our house too. People may not be aware of exactly what a SewerScope inspection is. So if you would just kind of break down just basically, what is entailed in getting a SewerScope inspection on a house.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk technical right off the bat.
Let's do it.
A SewerScope is the video inspection of the lateral sewer line. So in plumbing codes, anything inside your house is called a building drain. Anything outside your house is called a building sewer. So the lateral sewer line is the building sewer, or it's the sewer line from your house out to either your city tap, an HOA line, or a septic tank. So basically, a SewerScope is the video inspection of that line, looking for the materials, but bigger, looking for defects, problems with that line.
Okay. So the obviously this is not going to be something that is in a typical home inspection. Special equipment is needed. What kind of equipment is the typical inspector going to use for something like this?
Well, as a home inspector, in most states, legally, we cannot pull toilets. So okay. Part of our training was to teach inspectors how to use ancillary lines, roof vents, different cleanouts, smaller cleanouts to do a sewer scope. So a home inspector needs to buy a sewer camera or a video camera that is capable of going through the smaller lines to get to the big line. A plumber, he will pull your toilet. So they just need a big camera. So we actually took the time to develop a camera system for home inspectors that you can go through an inch and a half roof stack. You can go through a 2-inch line, or you can go through the really common 3-inch lines to get to that 4-inch main line. So you need a good camera. And then most inspectors also use a locator. The camera has what's called a sonde, which is a transmitter. Mm-hmm. And then you need a receiver or a locator to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And that way you can find out where that defect is out in the yard.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And I guess you can just go out and put some flags or something in the yard, yeah?
Well, you could put flags out there. You know, we've kind of gone away from the flag route. We take pictures because we found when kids play in a yard, they move the flags. And as a contractor, I would never dig to somebody else's locate. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of crazy because of things like that.
Okay, yeah.
But there has been instances where contractors have dug to a flag and the flag was moved.
Oh.
So if we put a flag down, we take a picture of it. In the report, we put a picture of that. So with a defining, here's the tree, here's the front of the house, something so somebody can look at that picture and say, oh, this is exactly where it is.
That's smart.
When it's on concrete, we use green tape and we'll make an X. You know, in the old days, we used to use the paint. Well, sometimes sellers would get upset because you put an X on their sidewalk, even though it's washable paint. We've just found it's easier, you know, to have less waves. So we rely on that photo, you know, to make sure that they know exactly where it is.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that's something I learned from you a lot with home inspections is the photos. And so I picked up on that watching your videos. So, yeah, my inspections typically will have 250, 300 pictures in them.
And that's a good thing.
So I'm all about the pictures. That's good. So why is this an important thing for somebody to have done? If they're buying a house and, you know, why should they – you know, spend a little bit of extra money, have the extra time to inspect this line?
Well, in my home inspection company, Colorado's Best Home Inspection, that's how I got started. We've been referring sewer scopes since day number one in 2005. We've always said, never say no to a sewer scope because a home inspection is a visual inspection. We can't see underground. Right. So when you move into a house, you want to be able to flush the toilets and not worry about what comes back at you.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you have a brand new house, 100-year-old house, you're going to have a sewer. And if you're going to have a sewer, there's potential for damage. You know, we find issues with about 2/3 of the sewer scopes we do.
Oh, wow.
We've had new houses where the line is completely disconnected. So anytime they flushed the toilet, it would end up in the yard.
Wow.
Mm.
We had 13 new homes in a row that all of the sewer lines were crushed.
Wow.
Well, when they were building the neighborhood, heavy equipment drove up in the yard because something was going on in the street, and it crushed 13 homes' sewer lines.
Mm.
Now, if we hadn't done the scopes on them, they would have been putting hazmat material into their yard until it backed up.
Wow.
And all that dirt needs to be removed. It becomes a very expensive process. Since the houses hadn't been lived in, all they had to do was go in and fix the sewer.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. Because that was going to be another question. It's like, you know, even with new construction, you know, because that's obviously something that a lot of people are going to push back on is like, well, you know, it's a brand new house. You know, what could go wrong? And one of the things I saw in your videos in the training was construction debris that was just left in the line. And of course, you mentioned the crushed lines. I mean, that's nuts. How else are you going to find that? So
you,
brand new construction important too. Yeah.
Yeah. The less somebody knows, the, you know, easier it is for them to brush off because they have no context for anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with the construction debris, you know, it's easy afterwards for the builder to say that you flushed it down.
Right.
So if you find it beforehand, then it's pretty hard to say. You know, we've seen bag lunches, forks, knives, you know, a hammer, you know, things get dropped down there. You know, sometimes what you'll find is a lot of rocks. You know, if the site wasn't locked up securely, the little kids like to go play in that area. And so you have an open sewer line and they start dumping stuff down there. They're just being kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had one that was actually so full of rocks that they had to dig the line up. They couldn't hydroblast it. They couldn't jet it. They couldn't clean it up without actually digging the line up. It was just because the local kids had put rocks down.
And, you know, that's, it's funny because one of the most common things that I see on a phase inspection is on a pre-drywall is a sewer line that's not capped. So who knows how long that goes without anything over it and what can drop in there.
Well, sometimes, you know, we'll see that a sewer line gets mocked up and then they go to lunch. Hmm. So it was never glued.
Yeah.
And when they come back, somebody's backfilled the line. The line doesn't get dug back up. So we've seen where every joint leaked. So we'd see root intrusion at every joint. And the reason were those plastic joints weren't ever glued.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, man builds it. Man can mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the weather kicks in. You know, sometimes they backfill from too high. You know, so there's lots of opportunities on a new construction, just like an older house. You know, honestly, if I had two houses that I think it would be more important to scope, it would be the new house. Hmm.
Yeah, and plus, like, we flushed, you know, him and our son did the line in our house, and it's probably going to cost us $700 to get it blasted out because we found two clogs. Yep. And if you do that during a home inspection, you can just get the sellers to pay for that. That could be just another negotiating tool for your realtor.
Well, it's all negotiations.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if you're living in the house and you flush the toilet and you're selling the house and it backs up, you're going to get it fixed before an inspection.
Exactly.
When it's brand new construction, nobody's been flushing. Hmm. So nobody knows there's a problem. And so, you know, we actually find more lines that just don't work on new construction. You know, in the house that somebody's been living in, you'll see the offsets, you'll see the cracks, you'll see the roots, things like that. But it's usually a functioning line because they've maintained it at least at a minimum standard so that they can live in the house. Now, flips, vacant properties, different story. But if somebody's actually living in the house, if they have a backup, they're going to call a plumber.
What do you see as some of the most common issues? You know, so, you know, you're mentioning the number of, you know, you're finding issues in... you know, if you're finding issues in 2/3 of the sewers that you scope, what are some of the more common things that you find?
We find a lot of root intrusion. You know, and contrary to common belief, the roots are not the problem. The roots are an indication of a problem. If the line is not leaking water, which is illegal, you will not have roots. So when people say, oh, it needs a maintenance cleaning to get rid of the roots, there is no such thing. You know, that the line really should be fixed, because if there's enough water leaking that you get roots, cleaning them is just kind of kicking the problem to the curb. You know, it may get the seller, you know, off the hook, the buyer gets by for a while, but sooner or later, those roots are going to win. And that line's going to have to be either repaired, a partial, or a replacement. And then that comes into, you know, pretty big money. And so whenever we see roots, we recommend a clean and a repair, because the roots aren't supposed to be there. There's a reason they're there, and that's because the line is leaking.
Right.
That's probably one of our biggest. Depending on the age of the property, crushed, compacted lines, a lot of newer homes, we see bellies, things like that. And if you have bellies, usually you'll find a lot of grease. Because if people don't clean their plates in the trash can,
what's a belly?
Any bacon grease, anything that ends up in the sink is going to hit that standing water, it's going to cool off, it's going to plate to the sides, and then you're going to catch toilet paper, you're going to catch your debris, and then all of a sudden you're going to have a backed up line when, you know, it's really, it was a belly, but the grease is what's causing the problem.
What is a belly?
A belly is a low spot in the line. You're building sewer, so when it leaves the house, it's supposed to slope a 16th inch a foot.
Got it.
If we have a low spot that's holding an inch of water, then really that belly is big enough, it should be fixed. Anything less than an inch, typically if you're careful with your kitchen, with the grease, things like that, you can get by without fixing it. But if you're holding an inch of water or more, then it's usually going to cause a problem for your buyers.
So with these issues that you find, what can be done? What do the repairs look like? You know, we can, you know, maybe look at some of the more simple things. You know, I guess if you just need a cleaning, but what kind of repairs need to be done? And, you know, what kind of cost are you looking at with some of these repairs?
Well, you know, a cheap sewer line repair is a couple of $1,000s. And then it just goes up, you know, to replace a line, you know, we figure about $100 a foot, you know, minimum. So, you know, you can easily have a $10,000 sewer line repair. So, you know, a cleaning, I don't recommend blades because we see a lot of damage by blades. But hydrojetting typically starts at about $350. But again, if there's roots, cleaning is only the first step. That's not the fix. You know, if the line flows and has its 16th inch a foot slope, a lot of times they can do a SIP or a partial SIP, which is a cured in place pipe. It's a cheaper way to fix things. It's not a destructive. You don't dig up the yard or anything. Then after that, there's what's called a pipe burst. Basically, they dig down on both ends, put a cable through the old pipe, and they pull a new pipe. That works really good if there's a garage in the way or mature trees. You don't want to damage the landscaping. You know, and then dig and trench, you know, it's basically to dig up the yard. And, you know, that's still in some areas, that's about the only thing that contractors do. So it just depends on where you're from, what has become prevalent. But, you know, we typically see a combination of the above.
Okay.
A lot of times we'll see where they'll do a dig in trench or a pipe burst to the street, and then they do a cured in place pipe under the street so they don't have to dig up the road. So we'll see a lot of, you know, part this, part that. And, you know, a SIP is a good repair as long as the line flows, but it doesn't fix a belly.
Right.
It doesn't fix an offset, things like that. So a lot of times we'll see a cured in place pipe that really shouldn't have been done. You know, the line had other problems, so it wasn't a great candidate. Yeah, the roots aren't getting in anymore, but we still have the belly. We still have the obstruction. We still have these other problems. So we typically talk to our client, you know, this house isn't a real good example, you know, a good candidate for a SIP, or it is a good candidate. So we'll kind of educate them. We don't tell them how to fix the house, but we kind of tell them the options that would be the best options for
them. Right.
Is there something that can be done as homeowners as kind of preventative? Like, you know, do you recommend kind of getting an annual cleaning? You know, is there something that can be done just to kind of help keep the line healthy?
Well, actually, there's nothing you can do. Just not putting grease down is the biggest thing you can do. No feminine products, things like that. Anything that can get stuck. But just talking to your clients about not putting grease down is huge, because if you don't put grease, even with the belly, usually the velocity of the sewer, the water, will flow through the belly. Once you start sticking the grease, that doesn't help. A plastic line, so ABS, PVC, HDPE, SDR 35 or 21, 83 and newer, most of our lines are plastic. They should never have to be cleaned. So unless there's a defect in that line, an annual cleaning is kind of a waste of money. And if they use blades, they can actually damage a perfectly fine line because the blades can break up the fittings.
Right.
So we don't ever recommend an annual clean or anything like that. You know, like I say, if the line needs to be cleaned because of roots, we have a defect. We have a leak. We have a problem with that line. Yes, you might be able to buy time by doing an annual clean, but eventually they're going to get bit. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, they're not getting a new line or they're not getting the line fixed, we always recommend they get homeowner's sewer line insurance. You know, so it covers any damage, well, up to a certain point, that happens in the house. Plus, typically, like I have it on my house, it covers the first $6,000 of repair. My son has it, Michael has it on his house, covers $10,000. You know, he pays a little bit more, you know. So, but I tell my clients, that's not a, it doesn't replacing the line. It's not going to fix anything. It's just going to help cushion the cost when it comes down. It's not going to be coming all out of your pocket.
Gotcha.
You know, most of our clients don't own the house yet. So, you know, it's not at that point, it's still not their problem. It's somebody else's problem.
Right.
And for anybody out there thinking that cutting down the tree is going to solve anything, that won't work either.
No.
Because they build networks underneath long before. I mean, you can cut it down and it'll still grow.
Yeah, so. And tree roots will go a couple hundred yards.
Yeah, so that won't fix anything.
Some of our local jurisdictions with clay no longer allow a repair. So we can't, so if we have one joint that has roots, we can't just fix that joint anymore because they figure it's kicking the can down. You know, the roots are going to find the next leak. And they're going to find the next leak. So you do a spot repair, but next year it needs a different spot repair. So they're actually making, anytime it's clay, concrete, or transite, if there's a root issue in one joint, they're making the whole line be replaced.
Okay.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Although annoying for the owner. That makes sense.
Yeah. It sounds to me that, you know, worst case scenario, you are digging it up and replacing a line. So would you say that's kind of that's the worst of it, is the dig and trench?
Usually that's the most expensive repair. You know, and that can, depending on if you have basements, you know, the line's 12, 15 feet deep. Mm-hmm. If it leaves the house and there's a big patio, you know, or if it goes out the back and there's a garage, now all of a sudden we have, you know, a structure on top of that sewer line. You know, we've actually had homes where the sewer line leaves sideways out of the property and goes through the neighbor's yard. How do you get to dig into your neighbor's yard? You know, so, you know, sometimes, you know, bad case scenario, they have to relocate the line. You know, that's where a pipe burst is good, because they can run it through and they'll actually disturb the neighbor's house. But, you know, each property is particular, you know, and so the normal of just going, you know, 90 degrees to the street doesn't always, you know, work. It does in the vast majority of homes, but not in all of them. You know, a lot of the older houses went backwards, you know, they go in an alley or something like that. And some of those alleys have been abandoned. And so now, you know, you look, the sewer line's in the neighbor's yard. So then it becomes a little more difficult.
What about cleaning chemicals? I do remember, you know, from the class, because in our area we got a lot of old houses, you know, with a lot of cast iron. Should there be special care taken if you have a cast iron line about what goes down the drain?
Well, so they always, you know, there's always for years and years and years, there's been, you know, don't ever put down any harsh chemicals to clean your line. And that's because of galvanized and cast iron. Well, the problem with both of those two pipes is they rust from the inside out. Now, cast iron, depending on where you live, if you're in a, you know, close a coastal area or a damp area, it can rust both ways. But we typically figure, you know, the inside is what's rusting. Well, when you use those cleaning chemicals, it's kind of like hydrojetting. You're cleaning all those, that's rust and that scale off. You know, if you have a bad line, it's just going to find your bad line. The chemicals really aren't causing the problem. They're exposing the problem.
Okay.
That's why we always recommend a re-sculpt after any kind of cleaning or hydrojetting, because if you have a marginal cast iron line, when they hydrojet it, when they knock all that rust off, that line's getting thinner. Mm-hmm. And it might actually be getting thin enough now that it's junk. Mm. And so especially down in Florida, you know, we only see cast iron lines last 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I'm up in Denver where they last 100. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depends on your environment. But so the chemicals really don't cause the problem. They just expose it very quickly in a one-shot deal.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with the chemicals. I'm just going to warn my clients that, you know, it might expose a bad line.
Okay. Yeah. So do you partner with, are there any contractors that you partner with, like plumbers?
We have a vendor list is what we call it.
Okay.
Or contractor list. I have a rule for my contractors that if you and I go have a beer, you can't be on my list.
Ah, yeah.
It is a complete professional list. Most of them have been on our list for 15 or more years. When we first start to refer them, it's because we've seen their work. They've done a good job. But we also advise our clients to check and make sure they have all their insurances. You know, everything's up to date, because especially in today's market, a lot of businesses are getting sold and bought. So just because, you know, Steve has been doing this for 15 years, Steve might sell out and that company might get a new owner. So if we get a complaint, you come off our list. I would rather refer nobody than refer somebody that there's a complaint with.
All right.
So, and then we refer a lot of people to the Better Business Bureau.
Okay.
You know, because they're pretty good about tracking that.
This has been a lot of great information on sewer scopes. I'm really looking forward to being able to provide that service for our people. And now that I've gotten a chance to kind of play with the camera that we got on our own house, I'm looking forward to getting out there. And the information that you provided in your class was just outstanding. And I'm glad that you got to that you allow us to keep the slides. Because that's been really helpful for me to just kind of go back as I'm building my template and kind of as I do my dry runs. It's kind of funny that you called it a dry run. So thank you for all the information on this. Before I ask you a couple of more questions, I just want to get some info from you. Where can people go to find you guys and to find you more about what you do, your education, and your work?
Okay, well, my teaching company is called IM, Inspector Mentoring and Training. And I also do a lot of training instructing through InterNACHI. So I've been their featured inspector for 12 plus years. So there's literally hundreds of YouTube videos, training videos that InterNACHI has put on that I am as the featured inspector on. Also, we teach in Boulder, and next week we're actually teaching in Florida. There's a House of Horrors in Western Florida, and there's a House of Horrors in Boulder, Colorado. We actually, through InterNACHI, it's a two-year associate's degree college. So, and so we teach up there a lot, and everything from a five-day class to a commercial class to advanced sewer scope training, things like that. So if you Google James Crum, K-R-U-M-M, you'll find a ton of the videos. You know, on my website, and this is something for you, there is actually a sewer identification guide that you can download. You know, we actually give that to our real estate agents when we do the home inspection. That way it has 17 types of pipe. We laminate them. Mm-hmm. And that way you can actually show, okay, well, on this house, we have a concrete pipe, and you can actually show them pictures of it on that sewer guide. Or when they're, you know, reading an inspection and somebody calls out transite or something like that, they can get a little bit more educated just by looking at that guide. Mm-hmm. So my office uses it when they're talking to people. We have taught thousands of inspectors. One very large inspection company that we have taught. All of their office personnel have it at their desk. So when they're selling a sewer scope, they'll say, well, your house is a 1976, so you probably have one of these three types of line, unless the line has been replaced. So with a sewer scope, we will look for the invest. So they use it as a sales presentation, also to educate their clients on what they're buying.
That's the most important. And what I appreciate about you is you don't put somebody to sleep. You actually enjoy what you're doing. And somebody who's not a home inspector, like, you don't make me feel like I want to bang my head against the wall. So I appreciate that. Like, it's actually interesting.
You know, my wife has been working with me since 2007. And usually she loves me. It takes a while to get to that comfort zone where everybody knows what they're doing. And, you know, so that's a little hard. But, you know, it has, you know, put our kids through college. And, you know, Mike is actually our oldest son. And, you know, he's been working with us for 5 years now. He's a certified master inspector.
Nice.
And, you know, we wouldn't have brought our family into it if we didn't think it was rewarding.
Right. Career. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on to that.
That's really cool. Mike, I would like to hear a little bit from you, because what I'm looking at on this screen right now is, you know, a father and son. And, you know, my wife and I are literally a mom and pop business, and we've got two little boys. They're too young to get licensed. They're 2 and 5. but what has it been like for you kind of coming up through this business and, you know, being involved with your family and doing this kind of work? What's it been like for you?
It's been pretty good. It's got its own challenges working with family, but it's been pretty good. I like it a lot better than working for another company that's going to be ours. Because at the end of the day, I'm putting in all this effort to something that one day will be still in the family, will still be running it, will be mine one day.
Yeah.
And I'm putting all that effort into it. And it's going to reward me in multiple ways.
Yeah, 100%. Else wouldn't. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, yeah, I just kind of look like I'm it feels like I'm looking into the future a little bit. So I always like to just kind of get a little perspective on that. Because, you know, I'll take my oldest son with me if I need to do like a radon pickup at a vacant house or something. And I'll just go in and grab the device, and he gets to knock on the door and then announce himself as a home inspector. And
it's the pride. It's so sweet.
It's important to bring family in a family business, even if they decide not to be in it. Mm-hmm. They get to see what it takes to run a family and a business.
Right.
He started coming with, like, when we were doing ranches, things like that at 13. Mm-hmm. So he would check the water flow, things like that. You know, he had a uniform. He would start doing that when he was in high school. He would pick up radon monitors, you know, because, you know, once we could get him insured to be on site, you know, in the summer he would help, because owning a business is a lot of work. And we didn't want our kids to ever feel that that's what they had to do.
Yeah.
But he went through college, worked for somebody else for 5 years, and then decided that he would like to take this on. And so, you know, not everybody wants to be a home inspector, but you spend a lot of time building a successful business. Most people sell it for nothing, mm-hmm. or they just close the doors when they're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you work really hard to build up that business. It would be nice to be able to pass it down.
Right.
And, you know, and so, you know, he has brought on his own clientele now. Well, I'm kind of an old guy. The much younger people, you know, they're not so interested in what I have to say. They're more interested in what he has to say, because they have a common ground. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't have a 5-bedroom house. He has a 2,000 square foot house. Well, that's what the 20-year-olds are going to buy. And so there's much more in common with him. So he can relate to the millennials much better than I ever
did. Yeah, and the beautiful thing about it is, since he's decided to go forward in the family business, he's literally come up in it.
Yeah.
So it's just going to get better, which is so
cool.
I'll
put him against anyone.
Yeah. It's just, that's what's cool. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, I want our boys to do what they're called to do. And I feel like the beauty of being an American is you get to be an entrepreneur. Like, whatever it is you want to do, you get to start it. And I would just want them to see the work in that. Like, have a solid work ethic and then just do anything you want to do.
Well, the sky is the limit. I mean, there is, you can start with literally a ladder and a truck and build it to whatever you have the whereabouts to do,
right.
You can stay at one person's shop. You can build it to a multi, there's nobody telling you can't do it.
Right.
It's just a matter of how hard you want to work. And, when I teach the 5-day class, I tell people it's much easier to invent yourself once than reinvent. So when you're young into this business, try to figure out who you want to be. Do you want to be a multi-inspector firm?
Right.
Do you want to be a one-person or a two-person shop? Not everybody wants to have a dozen employees.
Right.
The plus to having multiple employees is if you get injured, there's somebody still working. But the drawback is it takes about 5 inspectors to make the money one person can make. By the time you start doing the splits and the insurance and all that. Adding 1 or 2 inspectors typically doesn't benefit you a whole lot.
Right.
So it's like, maybe I'm going to be better off being a 1 or 2 person show. And so when you decide who you want to be up front, that doesn't mean you're not going to change. Life's full of change.
Right.
But it's just like him going to college and had his career figured out, and then he changed. He decided that's not what he wanted to do. I spent 20 years working in the automotive field before I became a home inspector. And, sometimes life makes the change for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're dissatisfied. And, insanity is continuing to do the same thing day in, day out, not, expecting a different result. Well, we knew we wanted to change, and so we started this business, and we were very blessed that we had a son who decided he wanted to take it on.
Yeah.
And but he'd also seen the rewards that working really hard to build a business, and as home inspectors, we don't have any skin in the game. Mm-hmm. So we are truly the only completely unbiased people.
Right.
Plus, it's very rewarding to. Not that our job is to kill a deal, but our job is to educate our clients on what they're buying.
Right.
Sometimes that turns out to not be a good deal and they move on,
mm-hmm.
But we save our clients thousands and thousands of dollars on a daily basis.
100%.
Yeah.
Even if they can't negotiate the price, they don't get blindsided now in 6 months with a $10,000 repair.
Right.
Because, they know, okay, we bought a house with a bad sewer. We're going to have to start saving.
Yeah.
We'll move in, and then at Christmas time, the house floods, and now we don't have any money to fix it. What are we going to do?
Right.
They know that going in. So a lot of times we find a problem, they live with it until they can afford to fix it.
Yeah.
But they know what's there. So, we've educated them. We've told them what they're, what they're buying. Mm-hmm. And so, an educated, decision is a good decision.
Yeah.
It's
very freeing.
Yeah.
Because then you're not restricted by whatever happens on the house's timetable.
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't throw it at you. You know it's coming up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, Mike and Jim, really appreciate it. I know you guys are busy. You guys are kind of like celebrities to me as a as a home inspector.
He was so excited you said yes.
It's true. I was. Again, thanks for doing this. And I'm going to put all your info down in the show notes. Lots of links for people to find you, because I do want to encourage, again, our agents that listen to this and homeowners that listen to this. I really think they would benefit, not just home inspectors, but that they would benefit in seeing what you guys have to offer. And they're more educated on their house. They're more educated on the people who are coming in to look at their house. And so I would encourage that. And, you know, of course, with InterNACHI, you know, they've got the free continuing education available for agents that they can look into as well. So I would
encourage. And you can refer them that. And we appreciate you having us do this.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this is our first podcast. We've done a lot of Zooms over the last year and a half.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, this is something new for us. And, you know, I enjoy it.